It was Christmas Eve, and Tom settled into his seat in the back pew. He insisted on sitting there. Actually, that was the price of his attendance. When he was young, he came to church all the time, but now he knew better. There just wasn't much to it, really. But it was Christmas Eve, and his wife wanted to come because the children were home, and so here he was. It was Christmas Eve, after all. He opened his bulletin, checked out the carols. At least we're singing the familiar ones, he thought, glad not to have to fake his way through some unknown piece of music. He'd sing the familiar ones for old time's sake. It wasn't that he didn't want to believe, you see. He wished it were true. But God coming to earth as a human being, as a child, well, that just didn't make any sense. Not anymore. If there was a God, a big if in Tom's eyes, then why would God come to a particular place, at a particular time, in a particular life? I mean, it's a big world out there, and you'd think that God would want to reach everyone. So Tom found it hard to believe that God would choose Bethlehem, a tiny sheep town in an obscure little country, in a time long before mass media. Just wasn't very likely, Tom thought. A young couple sat down right in front of him, and the man was holding, a baby. And not just any baby. This was a fussy baby. As the prelude began, you could see the dad bouncing this little bundle of joy on his lap. But there were little complaints issuing out of the infant's mouth, little complaints that were sure to grow louder and louder as time went on, sure to grow into what Tom knew would be just loud enough to be completely aggravating, but not quite loud enough to convince the parents that their little pride and joy needed to be removed from the sanctuary. Tom rolled his eyes. It was dark, so nobody could see, but nonetheless, he rolled his eyes. If he had to come to church, at least he wanted a little peace and quiet. Peace, that song the angels sang, that's another problem Tom had with the whole God thing. Peace, there's just far too little of it in this world, far too little of it in his own life. I mean, who could believe that God, if there was one, if God created everything, if God would care about any one of his creatures, much less Tom? Well, the service had begun. It was time for the first carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful. That's what they sang, and Tom wondered if the faithless should come too. Amazingly enough, that little creature in the pew in front of him seemed to like the singing. She was a she, suddenly seemed calm, though her father was still bouncing her, and all Tom could see really was a pink sleeper and a dark patch of hair as she bounced. Mercifully, the service progressed quickly, and it was time for the sermon. Since his school days, Tom had cultivated the ability to put a thoughtful look on his face and to mentally check out and let his mind go elsewhere. This came in quite handy during sermons and such things. So Tom daydreamed, or maybe we should say night-dreamed, the sermon away. The father in front of him had shifted his position a bit, and now his daughter was being held on his shoulder, and so she was looking behind her father, looking, in fact, at Tom. Well, the preacher broke through. Words from his lips broke through. God came to earth as a child, Tom heard him say, but then Tom quickly silenced the preacher and banished him from his conscious mind and went off, as many people do, preaching his own little sermon rather than listening to the one being presented. Came to earth as a child, Tom thought. That reminded him of what Woody Allen had once said. 80% of life is just showing up. Maybe God should try that. Maybe God should take Woody Allen's advice, Tom thought, and he started to laugh out loud, because, you know, sometimes when you're in your own little world and you're not really paying attention and you start to laugh, you don't realize where you are. But fortunately, Tom realized where he was, caught the laughter in his throat just in time. And as he did, he looked forward into the eyes of that baby girl directly in front of him. And she was still looking right at him. Direct eye contact at a range of maybe 2 feet. It's hard to resist a child, a face like that, at that distance. And Tom could not resist. She's beautiful, he thought, for the first time, though she had actually been quite lovely from the very beginning. Such tiny features, such deep, dark eyes. He'd forgotten how small they were, but how deep those eyes could be. He'd missed that, focusing on her fussiness. But now he saw she was beautiful. And she did not have to be Tom's own child for him to recognize that this girl was precious, truly precious. Without realizing it, his lips formed a gentle smile. And then he started to wonder, this beautiful, precious child, what would her life be like? What would happen to her? What would the years bring her way? Would she be one of the fortunate ones with enough to eat and a place to sleep, or would she live in need and in want? Would she have a happy childhood, sheltered from the cruelties of the world, or would she know too much too soon? Would she find someone to love and someone to love her? Or would she be wounded by the fickleness of human affection? What would become of this suddenly, wonderfully precious little life? And he thought about some of the terrors and griefs that might await her. And as he did, Tom felt his own heart grow heavy for her sake. And Tom found himself not just wishing her well in a casual sort of a way, but willing her well, willing goodness to come her way, willing a good life for this unnamed, beautiful child before him. It did not occur to him that he was practically praying for her, as he was somehow sending her way all the goodness of his own that he could muster, all the goodness of his own heart and his own mind, his own soul, his own strength, for her benefit, just somehow to transmit that to her, to send it to her as he looked into her eyes. And in a strange, almost surreal, maybe even spiritual way, he felt something he hadn't felt since his own children were very small, that somehow whatever happened to this child, whether it was good or ill, would touch his own life as well. And suddenly, he got it. He got Christmas. Christmas, as he'd never gotten it before, from that face just staring at him. How God so loved the world that God gave his only child. how God, the creator of all things, dared to live within the limits of life. How God came to the world as a child and thus became vulnerable to the fears and the terrors, to the losses and the griefs, the sorrows and the loneliness that are faced by all God's people everywhere. How God's heart must break when our hearts break. How God's heart rejoices when ours rejoice. How God loves each and every child on the whole face of the planet, no matter how young or how old, as though there were only one child to love, with a love that was as fiercely protective as he suddenly felt for that young soul before him. And how else would we know, Tom thought, how else could we know that unless God dared to come among us as a child? The preacher was reading the Gospel of John now, and the Word became flesh and lived among us full of grace and truth. If God could come to Bethlehem, Tom thought, then God could come to any place. And just maybe God could come to this place on this night. They were lighting the candles in the sanctuary now, and the glow was spreading from pew to pew. They were singing Silent Night. And while the night had not started out very silently for Tom, it seemed almost holy now. It took a while for the candlelight to reach the back pew, a little bit longer for the flame to come candle by candle to Tom's own. Silent night, holy night, they were singing. And his flame flickered and suddenly illuminating the face of the child before him, who was now fast asleep on her father's shoulder. Son of God, the carol went, love's pure light. Love's pure light, Tom thought to himself. Maybe there's something to this after all. Pray with me. Gracious God, we lift before you our hopes and fears, our dreams and disappointments, our regrets and our thanksgivings. We lift before you all who we are and all who we hope to be. And this night we ask you to shine love's pure light upon us all. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes, we ask it. Amen.